My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And this week we are cornered talking about this episode, directed by Michael Slovis, written by Jennifer Hutcheson, and originally aired on August the 11th, 2011.
Yeah, a real good one, I think. This is like the good version of the last episode.
Yes.
Kind of. Like, we're still setting stuff in place, but there's so much more drama.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more fun to watch. Like, it's you know, very, very electric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of tension.
Yeah.
This is about the fallout. At the end of the last episode, Walt drunkenly talked about how Gail Bedecker is not Heisenberg. Mm-hmm. He is just a student.
Yeah.
Of a real genius.
It's just rote copying. He knows. He's seen bad students. And you know, it's the next day, and Skyler has put together that Walt is afraid for the family. Kind of putting his little blab session together with the phone message that he left, and this leads to a confrontation that causes her to leave for a couple of days.
Yep. And ice him out for a long time.
Yes.
You know, this is going to have tons of effects. This is weirdly, you know, the domino meme with crawl space. Like, the domino meme is Walt making the decision in the first place.
Yeah.
But like, them being estranged and not talking, you know, if she was still under the impression that they were reconciling, like she was before the blab, then maybe she would have mentioned what's going on with Ted.
Yeah.
When the tax stuff happens, all that thing.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
And then maybe he wouldn't have mutated into a hunched over little bomb goblin.
Yes, he would have turned into Cassandra Nova. Like, this also has one of my favorite scenes in the show, like very memorable, which is Jesse being Mike's wingman and using, you know, I know meth heads to recover some meth. This is a kind of a silly scene.
Oh, yeah.
But I love it. I think it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's very memorable to me.
Yes, I like it quite a bit. I do not know or really even care if it is an accurate portrayal of the behavior of addicts.
I also don't care.
Yeah.
I like, there's probably discourse to be had and has been had about this show portraying meth folk as monster men, you know, like monster people. And like, I get that. I love a sympathetic depiction of an addict.
Yes.
I want that as a thing. For some of the stuff in the show to work, the consequences of what Walt is doing indirectly have to be monstrous. Like, the direct consequences and indirect consequences, otherwise there are justifications.
Yes.
Otherwise, Gail is right. Like, they're consenting adults, at least with my product, it's pure. That's not a good excuse. You can't make Gail right.
No.
You know, no matter what we do.
Not at all.
He's a libertarian. He's got a Rand Paul sticker.
Rand Paul was just a glint in Ron's eye at that point.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He was just a swimmer. He was growing on the wall of some basement in some kind of think tank.
The smiler. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a very little production trivia in this one. Like, there's some stuff about the four corner scene that is just literally Hollywood magic. Waves her hands. This does have one of the famous monologues from the series in it. And I want to mention that here because it is very hilarious in the context that we find it, that it became this ultra badass thing.
It's a big mistake Walt's making.
Oh God. Yeah.
You know, as a thing, like that's why it seems so silly. It is really like Scarface poster a little bit. Like, watching it in this context, trying to strip away the memification of it, you know, and be like, no, this is a good character moment for what this is doing. Right. Like, I actually, it's a mistake.
Yes.
But I like it as Walt trying on Heisenberg outside of work.
Yes.
And this, you know, his nerve getting touched and him, you know, he's a blowfish, right? He's a pufferfish. He got activated by this, you know, his tail's poofed.
Yes.
So he has to bring this out as a defense mechanism. I think that stuff's all really good.
Yeah.
It's also the kind of thing that if somebody gets tattooed in like Times New Roman font on their back, don't date them. You know, it's like, go, you know, swipe the wrong way, swipe away. Let's get into it.
Let's do
a fun episode to talk about. Let's go.
Yeah. Got a cold open. We're back in the refrigerator trucks with another cartel shakedown, except this time we don't have a mic. We just have two randoms, which means they are going to die.
The two things happened with this. One is, I thought maybe Netflix was showing me the last episode again.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the fact that this is the strategy, you know, that tweet about, it just sounds like you're feeding shelter cats to local coyotes. That's what Gus and Mike are doing with drivers.
Yep.
Like, they think that maybe these operators in the back will live.
Uh-huh.
But this is the second driver who died. People, they just keep signing guys up for this shit.
Oh, yeah. It just gets iced.
It's
yeah.
so funny. Yeah. Like, oh, we know he's getting iced. But yeah, we got two jobbers in
yeah.
here. Not that necessarily Mike would have got his way out of this.
Yeah, maybe. You know, who knows? Mike's basically supernatural, just like Gus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they have a smarter tactic. They're thinking, they're evolving. You know, they're not just going to open the door to be fired upon. They take out the driver, and then they take a big old hose and route the engine exhaust into the refrigerator box, into the compartment where these guys are hiding, while also barring the door.
Yep, barring the door and putting something on the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
They grab the cooler from the cab and start eating this guy's lunch in three pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one gets chips, one gets sandwich, one gets apple. And the guards inside realize what's happening, and they start panicking, and they can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they panic. So, like, one's trying to block the vent, one's trying to get the door open. Eventually, they shoot the back door and try to breathe through the holes.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, right? Like, asphyxiation. But it is too late.
Yeah.
The cartel guys come in and they use the black light. They know the method. They find the buckets that have little stars on them. If you mail them in, then you get a free Tootsie
Pop. Yep. Seems like a bad trade to me, but I'm not your dad.
Yep. Yep. it's a lot of meth for one Tootsie Pop. But they have stolen the meth.
Yes.
So, yeah. We wake up, you know, Skylar is no dummy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Skylar's listening to the message that Walt left her and looking up stuff on Gail Bedeker. You know,
right.
About his murder, kind of figuring it out. There's this little touch here that I really like. She brings, you know, Walt's still sleeping. She brings him a cup of coffee. This is not a caring act. The way I think about this is, if I let him get up, he's gonna be like, oh, I need coffee before we can have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's taking away excuses.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is tactical.
It's very good really strategy. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Like we said last episode, Walt got big drunk.
Yes. Yep. Slurring his words drunk.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's the afternoon. He had slept all the way through the AM part of the day. And he wakes up and is trying to do the, oh, what happened last night?
I do. Again, Skylar is no dummy. And he keeps trying to deflect, and it's not working.
No.
Right. Like,
no.
One of the trajectories of the show is Walt's, you know, the talking cure. Like, mm-hmm. his superpower, you know, of talking his way out of things, just slowly starts, like, people become immune to it.
Yeah. They build a
kind
tolerance.
Of one by one.
Yeah.
They build a tolerance. You're never going to see Gus again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the people keep figuring it out as this goes on, person by person.
Yeah.
You know, eventually Jesse takes the longest to get there, but they all get there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she says, did you know this Gail Bedeker person? He goes, what exactly did I say last night? Mm-hmm. You know, just again, trying to just, draw attention to himself, make fun of himself. And she says, just enough.
Yeah.
You know, did you work together?
Yeah.
And she's doing this through concern,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not necessarily just concern for him, just like, are we in danger?
Yeah.
You know, who killed Gail? Is it the people you work for? You know, and Walt's like, no, you're close, but no.
you know, just like, okay, well, is there anybody who's going to come here to try and do the exact same thing? And it's like, okay, so you mean with a gun or with gasoline?
It's
going to happen for a couple times. He says he'll be surprised. It's easy to forget how little Skylar knows about what's going on here. Like, she genuinely has no idea because he doesn't talk about this. He tries to talk about this firewall. Yeah, you know, this needs to be separate, church and state.
She probably doesn't know that Jesse is still involved.
Right.
You know. Even though she's met, and Skylar says, you know, I get it. You know, you, like, you blabbed it when you're drinking. I was up all night. I was thinking about your black eye, that fight you didn't want to talk about. You know, I'm getting it. And Walt hates this.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, listen, there's a firewall. Don't bring this up. Church and state. He's getting really mad. And Skylar goes, then I thought about the message, and you weren't loving. You were scared.
Yes. You know,
that message was goodbye. It was a cry for help. And when he says cry for help, this is that's the thing that puts Walt over the edge.
Yeah.
Like, he does not want to be psychoanalyzed by this stuff.
No.
Walt hates the idea of being reduced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I contain multitudes. He screams, you know, impotently into the night. Like, she's psychoanalyzing him. It wasn't a cry for help. It's his ridiculous fucking ego.
Yeah.
You know, that's going through. But there is something wrong with him, and she's closer than he wants.
yes,
her to be.
That's getting it. It's getting to it. Like, she figured out, like, oh, you actually were scared. And, yes. You know, this entire act that you are doing with me is predicated on this illusion that you are trying to present to us and often to yourself that you are in control of this.
Yeah, the casual. And, this is a work. You know, this is a workplace. Yes. I go into work.
Yeah.
You know.
And so he gets reductive back. He starts, yep. He gets super, super sarcastic. Oh, you've figured me out. You've looked into my soul. Just being a real dick about it. And Skylar reiterates something she said before. If you're in danger, we go to the police. Like, we tell them you're not some hardened criminal. You're in over your head. And that's the truth. Yep. Right? You are in danger. So, like, do you just want me to wait for somebody to come and ice you at our front door? Right?
Yeah, or spike our baby.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Like, or even worse. And again, that's the truth he's denying.
Yes.
You know, he cannot be confronted by this. And you see him, like, his face changes.
Mm-hmm.
He turns, you know, he transforms. Like, he's been pushed into a corner emotionally and becomes, like, lashes out.
Mm-hmm.
As this, and does this monologue that again is very famous.
Yeah,
for this, so famous that the Samuel Jackson recreated it for charity.
Yep,
there's a YouTube of it. He laughs a lot more during it.
Yeah,
he plays it as you know, it's still good. You know, Samuel Jackson can deliver an icy monologue, and it's fun. But it's a really different take.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, he's underlining what he thinks is the ideal version of this transformation. Yes. Who are you talking to right now? You know, who is it that you think you see? And big times are about the money and about his importance. Yep. You know, if I stop, a company that could be on the NASDAQ goes out of business.
Yeah.
You know, you clearly don't know who you're talking to. I am not in danger, Skylar. I am the danger. A guy opens the door and gets shot. You think that guy is me? No, I am the one who knocks, which is one of those things that you say when you think sounds real clever and real badass. But looking at it here and knowing how little control he is in, it is very, very pathetic for this. And it, you know, he basically told her, I'm the person who killed Gail is the message that she gets from this.
Yeah. And reasonably so.
Yeah.
You know, and then also he's the one who knocks through a series of like goofy devices and coincidences.
Yeah.
Like he does end up eventually knocking in all ways that shoot him in the foot constantly and lead to Jesse becoming a meth slave and all this, you know, Hank dying. I love the mirror of this with the Hank.
Yeah.
You know, he gets this one in this scene, he is panicking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and doing this later when he's talking to Hank, where he's like, if that's true, if you don't know who I am, maybe you should be careful.
Mm-hmm.
He has like actual confidence behind it.
Yes.
You know, and it's a really nice mirror
to
this, I think,
mm-hmm.
Of, you know, just him straight up telling, it's one of the most violent things you can tell a family member,
mm-hmm.
like being like, you don't actually know me.
Yeah.
Right. Like that is devastating. That's a really harsh thing.
Every single assumption that you had is gone. Right. Yep. I am suddenly unpredictable, incredibly violent, emotionally violent at the very least.
Yeah, shoot you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just, police?
You know,
I said the wrong thing.
I'm talking
to the cops, are you, mate?
I will do anything for this family, up to and including killing them myself.
Killing the family. Well, she uses that line, you know, later, and it's great.
Yeah.
Basically, it has that mirror at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and takes a shower, and you get to see him in the shower be like, fuck.
Yep.
Like, you know, Skylar just sits there. He gets out and starts to apologize, but she's gone.
Yeah.
And her car is gone.
Yeah, she's gone with Holly.
So, baby napped. We get a scene. Walter still has errands due today. So he's at the car wash at nighttime getting the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar's in there, and Bogdan is just dragging his ass.
Yeah.
You know, nonstop. Because if you remember, I know you remember, listeners, Bogdan thinks he's getting one over on him.
Yes.
Like, he thinks that this is going to be an Environmental Protection Agency nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Business.
Yeah, saddling them with a business that cannot operate until hundreds of thousands more dollars go in, right?
Yeah.
He's getting out and taking the bag with him. And he says, you know, like I say to her, play sells as is, understand?
He keeps emphasizing this.
Right. Which immediately would throw up some red flags. Like, we've already closed on the deal, but
yeah,
I don't know.
you have the money now.
Yeah.
You know, you can stop saying that. they go to the office and Bogdan is just a pig in shit. Like, he is loving this.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, you know, being the boss is tough. You have to work hard. And Walt is, this is beneath Walt.
Yes.
You know, initially he pushes him, you know, further too far. You know, you've seen me work hard, Bogdan. I don't know. You know, if you can do that, you have to be tough. You know, the cashiers have to wipe down cars if they don't want to. Can you be tough, Walter? You know, like, just like, I wanted to punch him and I don't do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not like somebody, I just leave when somebody's acting like someone. I don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
But I hit the bricks, but I was like, I'd punch this guy. This fucking sucks.
Well, he's being misogynist too. Like, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure you can handle it. If not, you can always call your wife. That's not the reason that Walt is, you know, furious here, but I think it's really telling that he doesn't go full Heisenberg on him here. He just does it with Skyler, who he feels he has some measure of control over.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, he's also, you know, not going to see Bogdan again.
Yes.
You know, there's a little bit of a tactical layer to it, but he has less ability to needle him than Skyler does. He's also not right.
Yeah.
Skyler was right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like way, way worse.
Yeah. So they head over to the register, and Bogdan makes this big show out of handing over the keys. Yeah. Like, he holds them up and then, you know, just waits.
Drops them. Then he like straightens out the gum. Or whatever, mm-hmm. He's like wistfully walking around, and Walt spitefully turns the gum back at the angle, you know.
And Bogdan's about to leave, but he forgot something. He's like, "Oh, I almost forgot." He had framed his first dollar and put it up on the wall. I don't know if that is a custom everywhere, but
I think it's common enough.
Yeah,
you see it in local businesses and stuff.
Yes.
It's a free dollar if you're quick.
And
I haven't collected them. Yeah. I ruined 7 lives that I could almost buy a lunch.
Bogdan goes to take it, and Walt throws Bogdan's words back into his Bogdan as is. You know?
Yep.
And he like holds out his hand, like, "No, I want that dollar." And
I think that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
This is satisfying because Bogdan's being a dick.
Yes.
So he takes the dollar, Bogdan is sad, and he just busts it open and buys a Coke. Good move. Jesse's at the diner with Mike. I'm glad you have this here. I thought this was a meatloaf.
What
Mike's eating, it's gray.
Yeah.
If it's lasagna, that's a gray ass lasagna.
It's very gray. Yeah. There's only so close you can get to the image. I've got the, I don't know if they're 4K Blu-rays or whatever, but like, I was up there, I was like, what the fuck is this? They're at a diner and Mike is eating this very, like, it's really big. It's heaped high. It is one contiguous unit. So like, you know, it is like way too thick to be like a chicken fried steak.
It's nothing like that. It's a cube.
Yeah.
It's an old man cube. He's eating an old man cube of some kind. And I thought lasagna as well, except the color is wrong. Then I was thinking meatloaf or something with like a gray gravy on it.
Yeah.
You know, like a roast, like a piece of roast almost with like a really gross gravy on it.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, like the shape of it is most like lasagna, but he's eating it with corn on the cob.
Yes, which is not a lasagna pairing.
No.
Also, when you get a little spot of the texture, when Jesse eats a little bit of it, it doesn't look like lasagna texture. It doesn't break like lasagna.
Yeah. And also, like, he's able to, like, take, like, you know, to cut off his little piece with the fork. So it is not tough. This is not a contiguous
pasta,
piece of meat.
You'd have to push that down like pasta. I still think it's a ground piece of meat. It's a soft, like, breadcrumb-filled meatloaf.
Yeah. Okay.
Is my guess. If people watch this and you have any insight, I'd want to hear. It could also, we're all ignoring a real dark possibility. In the diner in my hometown, one of my friends, one of my close friends, had a real propensity for like pretty gross old man meals.
Okay.
Because they would be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very frugal. So he would be like, "Hey man, word to the wise, get the cold salmon plate." And he would get this cold salmon cube that was also gray.
Okay.
And looked a little bit like this. And this looks a little bit like that texture in terms of how it comes off.
Okay.
And salmon would do that. And you could eat a big chunk of salmon with corn. like a, if an old man meal.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just, if I go to a diner, I'm going to get breakfast food because they serve that all day and breakfast food is the best. Maybe I will swing a burger possibly.
Yeah.
But if I'm getting into like a platter of some kind, no. Yes.
A family meal at a diner is not like a great idea. Like you can get a Salisbury steak and it won't kill you or anything, but it's not your best. Like if you're going to Black Bear, like you want to get something that has fries on it or with it, you know, mostly like it's or breakfast. It's because breakfast is hard to fuck up.
Yes.
It is really easy to fuck up like a meatloaf or salmon unit.
Yeah. Unit of salmon. You know, I pretty much, you know, they bring it out and a breakfast plate is pretty much just ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to fuck up.
Yeah.
So Mike noticed, they're just sitting there, Jesse's hands are shaking as he's doctoring his coffee and Mike notices, asks you, okay. And Jesse snaps back at him.
Yeah.
You know? And he says he's not using.
Mm-hmm.
Like he admits, like this, him being believed in is motivation to get clean.
Yes.
Fear didn't work as a tactic. Them showing up and taking, hey, this meth head stole your money. Do you not want to know what we're going to do to him? That doesn't work.
Yeah.
But respect works.
Yes.
On Jesse. That is like one of his character, character traits.
Yeah.
And Mike makes him eat some food.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Then he gets a call and has to leave. And Jesse says, do you need help? But Mike doesn't. He just leaves some money on the table and goes.
Yep. It's breakfast. The next day, Skylar's in back and Walt is pumping Junior for information about what Skylar said before she left.
Yeah.
Nothing really useful. And Junior goes, this is about the gambling, right? and he starts saying like, your mom is being ridiculous. I was reading online. She's not even allowed to be mad at you. This is like you have a disease.
Yeah. She can't get mad at you for having cancer, right?
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Phrasing it as she's not even allowed to be mad at you is a very childlike understanding of
it's
this.
It's really, I think you should leave.
Yeah.
Like you're not allowed to do that. You know?
Yeah. And Walt is as close to being honest with him as he can. Like he's not really even doing a lot of justifying really. He says, no, this isn't about gambling. This is about choices I've made, choices I stand by. You know, he's not making excuses. He's just saying like, no, I don't feel comfortable with this compassion you're giving me right now.
Yeah. It's misaimed.
Yes.
You know, it's him being honest, but also him, that's what he wants, right? Yes. Like his ideal world is he shouldn't be ashamed of these choices.
Mm-hmm.
If he's ashamed of them, it was all for nothing.
Yeah.
He has to feel good about these because he, ostensibly did it for his family. And at this point he's still doing stuff for his family. It's not full. I never did it for my family stuff just yet. You know, like you don't just like have 12 people simultaneously killed and you don't blow up a nursing home for family.
Right.
You know? So they're on the way, he's driving him to school, driving Junior to school. And Junior goes, you're not going to move in, are you?
Yeah.
You know, like this thing I was really hoped for. And Walt says, no. And then, but you know what? School can wait. And he drives him to a car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
Junior wants a car.
Yes.
And Junior, every bit the tactician as his parents, says, I think if you're going to buy me off, buy me off. And he points to a billboard for a Dodge Charger.
Yes. Yeah. And then they bring it home. They pull up.
Yep.
It is not quite the dubstep like car commercial that happens
next, right?
That's
the beginning of the next episode because it's going to go back.
They take it back. No, that's early season 5 stuff. What that is. Yeah,
gotcha.
The Charger comes back, and Walt also gets a souped up Chrysler 300.
Yes, his midlife crisis. There we go.
Yeah, he gets a 300, which is like an old gangster car.
Very funny.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Wow. But he's bribed him off with this badass car, this Brock Samson car.
Yeah. He goes to work, and Jesse's already there waiting for him, smoking. Well, it's like, you're actually here for work. And he goes, we need to update. So they go hide out behind this tanker, tanker truck. To talk, give me some field, give me an update on what? On these little field trips we've been doing with Mike, and Walt is still like, this is one of these great moments here where Walt's social skills fail him.
Yes.
Because he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Like he's figured out the strategy, when he's doing all this stuff that's undermining Jesse, you're an asshole. He's being a huge asshole.
Oh yeah.
He's correct. though.
Mm-hmm. He's, you know? He's correct, and he could be better served if he ever felt like it was necessary to express respect or affection for Jesse.
Yes.
When it was not literally life or death and he required something of him.
Yeah, which he literally feels those things from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
He just can't. They're not high in his hierarchy of things.
Yeah.
You know, he feels. You know, I love this. You know, is there something I don't know about you? Are you a former Navy SEAL? Love that. Hey, the Navy SEALs are the funniest branch of the military.
Just I can't hear the word Navy SEAL without thinking about the line in Clerks where the customers, ooh, Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs. Yeah. It is absolutely the funniest branch of the military. Like maybe of all time.
Yep.
You know. Even if you just put deconstruct it, uh-huh. like a Navy SEAL is really funny if we didn't know they were people. You know, do you have to have your hands registered as lethal weapons?
You know? Jesse flips them off and goes, registered this.
Jesse's getting pissed, right? Because he's making fun of him.
Uh-huh.
And then the, you know, I like this little bit because Jesse is not a total dummy.
Yeah.
You know, Walt is just thinking the same was closer to how Gus would.
Yes.
You know, Walt says, do you really believe that Gus cares about you? And and Jesse goes, no, like, I know he did this to stop me from getting high because I was a liability, but I proved myself at this robbery.
Yeah.
You know, like he's not stupid to just think like, oh, this came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he thought he was being babysat.
Yeah. He can't kill me. No. Right. Because then he loses you. So like this is, you know, that's what this is. But I proved myself. And, you know, that changes the equation. Right.
Yeah.
He has established this worth that that Walt is trying to tear down. And this is where Walt puts it together. You can see on his face where, you know, where he does the math and the equation lines up. Right. It's like, you know, this doesn't add up. What if the robbery was a setup? Right.
Yeah. It happens on your first night.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like you didn't have to chase them for very long, or they didn't chase you for very long. They gave up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't work. And, you know, this is what's happening. Gus can't kill you because he needs me. So he's driving a wedge between us.
And then this I feel is just a little bit like too this is cartoonish.
Clunky. Yeah. Oh, this is a clunky line for sure.
Is it? No. Yeah. This whole thing, all of this, it's all about me.
Yeah. I feel like you, even a Walt might have the presence of mind not to say that.
Yeah. It's you, just, know? You know, it would literally just be like, don't you see that you're being used? Don't you see
he's playing us against each other.
Yeah.
We have to unite. Like this is, you know, like he could have played this if he were better with people, just be like, no, there is potential in you. He's using it, you know, but I see it and. You know, want to, you know, he's trying to manipulate you.
Yeah.
I want to be your partner, you know,
and he even says, you know, he tries to say, do you think these people actually care about you? It's not just, it's not just the, you know, oh, are you a Navy SEAL? Is there something that I don't see? You know, he tries to say like, oh, these people, you know, they're going to leave you out to die. It's left unsaid. You know, look at what they did to Victor. But like, I don't know. That's not a very compelling case from Walt.
Yeah. It just doesn't work out that way and ends up, you know, he's right. This is to wedge them together, even though Jesse ends up actually proving himself.
Yep.
Like, I love that, you know, both Walt underestimated him and Gus did, you know, during this. So they're down in the lab, the phone rings, it's for Jesse and he has to go. And this leaves Walt to do the cleanup by himself. And Walt, you know, does something horrible, goes upstairs and tries to recruit these three laundry workers to help him clean. His Spanish is not very good. Mm-hmm. I love that this isn't translated, you know, so we're having the same experience that he is if we don't speak Spanish.
Yep.
You know, him trying to do this to get them to go, he leads them towards the stairwell and they all get scared. Like they're all like, no,
nope, don't go there.
We don't do that. We were told not to do that. No. Like we don't do that. And Walt bribes them.
Yeah. It's like, here's the universal language, you know, Presidente Grant, very important man, small note. And this is just like a little, it's a little writerly, but I like it. He doesn't know the word for help. So he gets help on what word means help in Spanish. He's like, ayuda. Yes. Ayuda. Getting help to say help. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, so here, you know, so here's money. And, you know, they kind of talk to each other. Like, okay, it's 2 hours. We're getting paid. You know, he'll pay us $50.
He'll get us more at the end.
Yeah. So, you know, it's more, you know, just, it's way more than we make up here. And so they agree. And he leads them back to the dryer, to this, you know, to the staircase. And, you know, the one thing he says with confidence, híjole, you know, let's do it. Pulled probably from some Western.
I imagine people in Albuquerque know a little bit more conversational Spanish than people in Portland. So he said they're all cleaning, you know, all the stuff, and he sits back and drinks coffee. I was thinking about who makes this coffee. It feels like it's just always going. It's going when they get there. But then like raises his cup to the camera, like get fucked. If you're not going to give me a partner, I'm going to do stuff like this.
I don't know. I was about to say like Walt sitting back there and putting his feet up. Come on. Join
It also sucks. It sucks for many reasons.
Yes.
You know, this is also cartoony, but I like it more than the "this is all about me" bit. It's cartoony in that it's just, we've been seeing that he's been short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this episode, this is just a little micro example of it.
Yeah. He literally does not compute what is going to happen to these women because of seeing
them. They're not people to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real mixed feelings about the scene. We get this very long lyrical scene of Skylar driving to the Four Corners Monument.
Yeah.
That's where you can be in four states at once.
Mm-hmm.
It flips a coin on where to move, basically.
Yes.
Should I move out of New Mexico? And it lands on Colorado. She flips again, it lands on Colorado. She has second thoughts. She looks at Holly, and then she just drags the coin back to New Mexico. Like, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
You know, I just imagine Junior being like, I'm, hey, what about me? Like, I would also be abandoned. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a firstborn over here.
Yeah. I don't know. It shows that she is not ready to break off yet. Like, obviously it is, not bad enough.
Yes.
You know, not extreme enough.
Giving up too much.
Yeah.
You know, if she was not giving up as much, it'd probably be no problem.
Yeah.
You know, she would just do it. It feels like this feels a little ponderous to me.
Yeah.
As a scene. I don't know what it is about it that just doesn't work super well for me. There are other slow lyrical scenes in this that work really well for me.
Yeah.
This one maybe not as much. Maybe it's just the weird coincidence
of it landing in the same place.
Yeah. Twice. Yeah. Like that feels a little Wayfarer to me. Like it feels a little bit Magnolia.
Yeah.
To me.
I mean, I also just want to say, go to Colorado. It's nice.
Yeah. Colorado's fine. Fort Wayne. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, Junior.
Yeah, there's Junior too.
There's Junior. And you know, she just disappeared with Holly. She's not doing it through best quality vacuum.
Right.
She's just doing it through Walt's not gonna hunt her down through family court. You know, shit like that.
Right.
So Mike and Jesse pull up to a steakhouse to stake out a house. They pull up to get to Outback.
Oh yeah.
I said eat.
Yeah.
They want a
baked potato that is far too big and with skin that is tough as leather.
Yeah, they want to be able to use it later for to make a football to toss it around.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse says, you know, what are we doing? We watch. You know, who are these guys? They're people who found 3 pounds of the product.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling it, they didn't get it from us.
Right. And just in case it wasn't clear, this is just a ratty house. This is not a Logan's.
And
you know, Jesse questions the tactics here, saying, you know, why can't we just go up there and, you know, pound on the door and demand that they give us our ship back? Mike says, well, you know, these guys are heavily armed and they're into the product.
I don't know if you know this. You know,
but maybe you do.
To be unpredictable.
And you know, Mike doesn't care for unpredictable. He says, sorry to burst your bubble, kid, but that's 90% of the job. But don't worry, I've got sandwiches.
Love it.
And he pulls out.
I love Mike's old man sandwiches.
Yes. I've got pimento cheese, and Jesse doesn't want it.
Yeah. I would fuck that up. I love pimento cheese.
Yeah.
Pimento cheese.
Mayonnaise and dairy. Yum.
Yeah. You don't like most of that.
Yeah.
The together. I can fuck up some pimento cheese. Mm-hmm. There's a place in town that does a burger that has pimento cheese on it. And it's but again, old man sandwich. This comes back later in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
The tuna salad. and pimento cheese are the Mike sandwiches. Better Call Saul has a series of little promotional things on YouTube where they're instructional videos.
Mm-hmm.
And the one for Mike is how to make a pimento cheese sandwich.
Ugh.
And it's really just then you spread the cheese the right amount. And then that's like the only piece of advice in the whole thing. So Jesse's not going to have this. You know, he gets out. Mike doesn't stop him, pounds on the door. He uses his street name, Diesel. He's used that name before.
Yep.
You know? asking this guy to buy, and the guy inside just keeps screaming Tucker.
Yeah.
You know, Tucker, Tucker. It's real fucking Gumo and like,
yeah, Tucker. Yeah. Tucker, get back here.
Close the door, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Tucker doesn't want to sell, right? And it's like, yep. Where'd you hear about this kind of thing?
Yeah.
You know, paranoid. Never seen Jesse before. Probably right. Yep. Probably right to be suspicious. Somebody coming to your house with that. Yeah.
Very much so. You know, Jesse walks back to the car and Mike is very smug. You know, I guess we'll go with plan A then, kid. And Jesse's like, no, you'll pop the trunk. I need something. He does, you know, and you can even see the additional trust that Mike is actually gaining for Jesse.
Yes.
During this, like even letting him take the lead on this. Mm-hmm. Right. And Jesse says, you know, you may know this PI sit in the car business, but I know meth heads. And like, I really like this.
Yeah.
I like this scene, you know. He just grabs a shovel and just starts digging.
You know? He goes to the front yard of the house and just starts digging the sandy soil.
Yep.
I was in tears when this aired, Garrett.
Yeah, it's very funny. You know, and he just can't resist.
Uh-huh.
You know, like if you put a meth head in front of a load runner, like they're out. That's it. It's the dig dug of drug.
It's dig know, drug.
Habits.
Yeah.
Yeah, dig drug. Yeah.
So Tucker comes out to see what's going on in this exchange.
It's so good. Yeah.
just in its in how terse it is, just in the paucity of words and how much is communicated. He's like,
"Yep.
What are you doing? Digging. Why?" Yeah. Oh, you know why, knowingly.
I love you know why. Like, if you look at Jesse, like the performance from Aaron Paul here, there's a lot of contempt in this, right? So Jesse's getting clean. He's been here before.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't like it, right?
Right.
You know why. Like, he's mad. He just knows it won't, you know, it's not going to defer this guy. Because then you go like, how deep are you going? I know. How deep do you think it is? The idea of a hole just having a degree of deepness as you're digging it is very good.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the guy's fucking fascinated. Like,
yeah, pretty deep.
Pretty deep. Like,
we got to get down to the bottom of that.
Yeah. Like, fucking love it. And then, you know, he gets his invite, right? Uh-huh. Like, hey, would you take over? I got to use the can. You know, can I use your bathroom? Yeah. You know, like, sure, whatever.
It's Tom Sawyer's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and Mike smiles a little bit as Jesse gets inside.
I love what Mike's little approving smiles. There are a couple times when they come out with Jesse.
Yeah. It's real good.
Yeah. And it's a different situation because while Tucker is kind of a cartoon, we're going to run into the unnamed guy inside, who in the credits just goes by Scary Skell. Skell being just like an old timey, like 60s and 70s, word for criminal guy. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And he's scary. He looks like a little bit like, Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
A little bit, here. And he's just walking back and forth with a shotgun.
Shirtless.
Screaming. Yeah. Shirtless with a shotgun, screaming for Tucker, and then sees Jesse.
Yes.
You know, who the hell are you? You know, Jesse, I'm here to buy. Who told you? Tucker. You know, Tucker needs to keep his mouth shut. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough for all of Tucker's asshole friends.
Hey, you have three pounds.
Yeah, it's a lot of methamphetamine.
Yeah,
here for you, buddy. You're gonna die.
Yeah, and Jesse tries pacifying him. Like Jesse gets both ends of the kind of amphetamine compulsion and paranoia on this. He could control Tucker with this, but you know Jesse says like, "Hey, we could just go outside to sort things out." Skell doesn't go outside. Skell, you know, puts the gun into Jesse's face and says, "I don't want any trouble." And
Jesse
says,
"I don't want any trouble."
Yeah. Jesse said, "I don't want any trouble." And the guy's like, "Trouble? What's trouble?" And eventually, stop putting thoughts in my head. Which is
real Frank Booth.
Just communication. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop saying things.
Yeah.
You know, when I ask you questions, you're not supposed to do anything. But it's real, like, super unpredictable maniac energy in the room.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, a noise distracts Skell. Jesse brains him with a bong, takes the gun, and the noise was Mike opening the back door.
Yeah. My mic was coming in to, you know, to support, right? Because it was, you know, a little bit too long. Gosh, and the guy just like quietly moaning on the floor.
Yeah.
Knocked out, concussed.
Yeah. Same thing when he hit Mr. Spooge.
Oh, yeah.
In the head. And he just like rolled around on the head being like, my head. Like it's, you know, I don't know. Maybe meth makes you feel pain in an ultra cool way.
Like, you know? Try it. Don't try it. Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So Mike looks at the Poyos lid and it says, "Are you ready to talk in Spanish?"
Right.
The cartel are, you know, we need a fucking meeting.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah. We get the consequences for Walt's little cleaning stunt, you know, saying, oh, if you're not going to let me have my partner, I'm just going to invite people into the lab. He's taken the workers back upstairs, and then Tyrus is waiting, you know, saying, like, it says in Spanish, you come with me, ladies. Walt asks where they're going. They're going to be put on a bus back to Honduras, right?
Yep. And you can see Walt, like, you see the horror in his face, right? Like, if you asked him, if he was voting, does something bad happen to these ladies? He would vote no.
Right.
You know, he just isn't thinking about shit.
Yeah.
Like, the indignity of him having to clean this up is too much. That is a problem. That is a fire that needs to be immediately put out.
No.
Damn the consequences. Yeah.
He probably thought, oh, they're not just going to kill these random ladies. But he did not think that there was something between killing and letting them go that they would, fall to.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. And he's like, no, this was me. You know, please just tell Gus, you know, tell him to blame me. And I love this line. Tyrus goes, he does, you know, like, of course it's your fault. It's not their fault. You fucking idiot. It's just, I can deport them and I can't deport you.
Yeah.
You know, goddamn dope. You know, I deserves to feel lower than fucking dirt and dust.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's diner time again. We don't see what mystery old man meal Mike is eating.
No.
We don't get a lot of time with it because Gus arrives and they send Jesse outside because it's time to talk business.
Yep. You know, Mike says this hit was about sending a message. You know, they didn't keep the product. They just gave it away. They didn't want to sell it. Here's, you know, I know you're not asking for advice, but let me hire 10, 15 good operators and we hit them hard. And they are. Gus says, no, you know, this war needs to stay cold.
Yeah.
You know, the answer, let's set up a meeting.
Yes.
They want to talk. Let's talk.
Yeah. And Gus asks how Jesse did and the camera cuts outside.
This is great.
Yeah.
Because we, at this point, right, we know that Mike is actually gaining respect for Jesse. We know that Gus is setting up Jesse. Gus is eventually going to gain respect for Jesse. And one of the ways that's going to happen is that transferring of, you know, that respect for Mike has to Gus here, but they don't want to let us off the hook yet.
No.
We still need to think that Jesse is in danger and being used at least plausibly. So this is a trick that happens masterfully in Better Call Saul as well.
Yes.
Where they don't let us hear the conversation we want to hear. We just get to hang out outside kind of fiddling, you know, fidgeting like Jesse.
I just watched that episode, actually.
Oh yeah. Better Call Saul one.
Yeah. The Better Call Saul, we'll talk again in 6 months conversation.
It's
used a couple different times. Sorry.
Yeah. I was thinking of the ending. I was like, man, you're fucking cruising through these.
No, sorry. Same trick, different application.
But it's still great. It's really smart.
Yeah.
So he leaves. You know, he gets up and leaves, talks to, you know, it like gets out. And as he's leaving, you know, Jesse says, hey, you know, excuse me, why me? And Gus says, I like to think I see things in people.
Yeah.
And leaves, which is tactically, you know, the best thing to say there.
A masterful thing to say to Jesse specifically.
Yes. It's all Jesse has ever wanted. Like, you know, if his dad can't be his dad and Walt can't be his dad, Mike and Gus can form my two dads.
Yep.
You know, like, yeah.
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 So we get Skylar back home, and she pulls in, you know, and sees the Challenger in the driveway. And, you know, okay, this is nonsense. And she walks in on Walt and Junior eating dinner.
Yep. And Junior, you know, is like, hey, do you see what dad got me? You know, this is actually really safe. I'm really safe with it. We talked to the guy, you know, she's not worried about the safety of it, you know, but he's like, you know, can I drive around the block? She goes, okay.
Yeah.
You know, she needs to get her dad alone or his dad alone. Anyway.
I love Junior's attempt at persuasion with this, you know, I'm going to go at the speed limit or lower
or under or safer.
Mm-hmm. But he's going to go out and drive this thing. You know, we're going to talk. And Walt tries to start the conversation. You know, and it's like, hey, you know, we need to talk. He's like, I think you said plenty the other day. You know, Skylar asks, like, did you go get the car wash keys? She just wants to keep this, you know, bare and on business terms.
Yeah, yeah, church and state. The thing that Walt said he wanted.
Yep.
You know, in some ways. And Walt is, I love the performance from Cranston here. He's so distracted by that question. He's like, yeah. You know, like, of course I did the cover story stuff. Yeah. You know, let's get to the real meat of things. The game I'm playing, the character I'm developing.
Right.
You know? Listen, you know, I overstated things earlier. He reaches out to touch her and she like turns around, she flinches.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. None of this stuff. And Walt thinks that the reason she is upset is not because of the lies and because he said the super scary shit, mm-hmm. is because she still thinks that they're in danger from Gail's mystery shooter.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So he says, you know, the family's safe. Everything I do it to protect my family.
Yep. Is the charger part of protecting the family. And, you know, Walt's like, well, he needed a car and I should be able to get him what he wants. I'm his father.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know,
heart of it.
Yeah. Yep. Skylar's like, no, the car goes back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It contradicts the story. Protecting the family is protecting the story.
Yes.
You know, and here is Walt doing the same thing he's like did with the Honduran ladies kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this sucks.
Yes.
This is one of the most I've ever hated Walt in an episode.
Oh, it's
like, I hate Walt a lot, but this is really despicable Walt.
He's going to fall to like worse interpersonal depths than this, but yes. Like, this is wormy.
A new low.
Yeah. This is wormy stuff. Yeah.
This feels like a new low to me. And that includes like killing people.
Yes.
You know, him being like, oh, I just worry that he'll blame you for this, you know, like, go get fucked.
Yeah.
Like, literally die, man.
Yeah.
Like. And Crystal just, Blue persuade you into the fucking floor. Like, get fucked.
Man. And Skylar, you know, oh, he will. You know, she knows mm-hmm. this. Like, there's nothing, mm-hmm. the trick doesn't work. She, you know, she's thought about this. She knows the dynamic. Once again, I'll blame his bitch mother for taking away what his loving father gave to him. So thanks for that. But you know what, Walt? Yep. Someone has to protect this family from the man who protects this family. You know, she's had time to think about this. You know, she is reestablishing her role in this.
Yeah. As the cooler head.
Yes.
So this is what's happening. If I went to Colorado, it would still be Walt with Jr., you know, and he's still going to do stuff.
Yeah.
And it's going to contradict the story and it's going to fuck everything up.
Yes. You know?
So, yeah, she just takes Holly to the nursery. Walt's just staying there. And that's the end of the episode. Yeah. Good episode.
Good episode.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's tons of really great interpersonal things. When we call it place setting, it's not that. You know, it's not like they're trying to rearrange stuff.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is...
It's escalation.
Yes. Interpersonal
escalation.
It's escalation
of existing... Yeah. The existing things that that are happening now, not being started, but mm-hmm. being escalated.
Yes.
You know, through this. And just it is the secret, you know, it's the tension, right? That, like, mm-hmm. for me, it is a big reason. Like, I love low-key episodes of the show and I like it when they're just like kind of masterfully shot and it's like, oh, you guys figured out a new way to do a montage or a stop motion or a time lapse thing. Like, that's all cool, it's impressive and everything, but the thing that made this show electric to watch mm-hmm. when I first watched it, and the thing that makes it so I can barely stop when I'm watching it again for the show now,
during
the podcast about it, is this tension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this like absolutely delicious rising tension.
Yeah. And this feels very necessary. You know, if there is a place being set here, it is that Walt is being isolated, right?
Yes.
That is going to, you know, have consequences. It's basically going to be the thing that leads to the consequences here. You know, you drawing a line, like, it's just a countdown to crawl space, right?
Yep. Yeah. We're in the countdown to crawl space now.
Yeah.
Yep. Great stuff.
Yeah.
What can people do if they like this show?
If people like this show, they can support the network by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Kick in a few bucks a month. That supports us and lets us do shows like this, in addition to the video game shows that we do.
Yeah, this is what's known as a loss leader.
Yeah.
Or a loss follower. You know, we do the other shows that that make the money. Mm-hmm. And then we do stuff that we like for the people who like it. Mm-hmm. That's stuff like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. We like doing it. You can also leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict. A lot of people, you know, at any given moment are starting a new watch of this series.
Mm-hmm.
Send them our way.
Please.
We're fun companions for such.
We are.
And join us in thanking Gwen, who is our producer and composed our theme song.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. Hmm. And then I think that's it.
Yeah. Until next time, it's not all about you.
Yeah, it's not all about anybody.